Views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning. The Prime Minister apologizes for quarantining travelers from Grand Bahama as passengers left appalled by the treatment in quarantine. Emergency period to extend to September 30th as the country records 25 new COVID-19 cases, with more cases recorded in the last 2 weeks than in the first 4 months. It's all straight ahead this morning. I'm Dwight Strawn, and this is Morning Blend. Wake up, it's a new day. Wake up, it's a new day. It's the start of the start of a new way. You know that it's the start of the end of the old way. Good morning again, Bahamas. It is Thursday, July 23rd, 2020. This is Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Again, I'm Dwight Strawn. In a moment, Aaron Green will be joining us. Also this morning, we'll be talking with Doctors Hospital about some exciting things happening there. But first, it's time for The Overnight, the latest breaking news from while you're sleeping, and the top national and international headlines this morning. In the overnight, Prime Minister Dr. Huberman is apologizing for the stress and duress caused Tuesday when travelers arriving at Lyndon Pinling International Airport from Grand Bahama and Fort Lauderdale were taken into government quarantine by police. On Tuesday, Minister announced that Grand Bahama would be placed on a 2-week lockdown starting today. The move was made to stop the spread of mushrooming COVID-19 cases on that island. The Prime Minister also said that all domestic flights would cease on Grand Bahama on 6 p.m. on Tuesday. He said that he was advised that immediately after the order, there were boats lined up at Grand Bahama, especially on the east end, moving throughout the family of islands and attempting to move to New Providence. He told the House of Assembly as a result of that, they were forced, with the Ministry of Health's concurrence, to give orders to the Port Authority to ensure that there was no movement of vessels from Grand Bahama to other family islands in New Providence. He said he was informed that there was excess passenger loads who wanted to come to New Providence as a result of the order, the changes that were made, and that the health system was likely to be overwhelmed. He said, quote, the concerns the health professionals had at the time that individuals and because of the excess numbers of individuals being brought to the capital, many of them would have been lost in the system and subsequently migrate and permeate into the society and throughout the communities, and some could have possibly been positive. Passengers had not been advised in advance that they would be placed in a quarantine upon arrival. And the Prime Minister apologized for the stress and duress and the inconvenience caused as a result of this. The Prime Minister said the healthcare system was overwhelmed by the excess travel as Grand Bahama's borders were set to close. And with the country reporting a record 25 new coronavirus cases yesterday, the Prime Minister tabled a resolution in Parliament to extend the state of emergency to September 30th. He warned the public that COVID-19 is not going anywhere, and that it will be with us until a vaccine is developed. He said, quote, "We must learn to live with it. Our lives obviously will change, but we cannot lock down, open up. That can't continue. Therefore, we will have to determine as to the number and level we can live with, and our behavioral patterns will have to change." That resolution is expected to be debated in the House of Assembly today. Although not reflected in the national COVID-19 figures released yesterday, officials from Baker's Bay Golf and Ocean Club say two people working on the development tested positive for COVID-19 yesterday. In a statement from Baker's Bay, it said the resort had received reports from an employee of Bahamian subcontractor FES who was working on the property and is a resident of Abaco with a history of travel between Abaco and Grand Bahama. It said that he tested positive for COVID-19. Additionally, the company says that one of its global workforce employees who tested negative for COVID-19 before arriving on the island had been on the island for 20 days and tested positive on July 21st. It says the person in question arrived in the country on July 2nd. Public school students will begin the 2020-2021 academic year with remote learning, the Ministry of Education making that announcement yesterday. Minister Jeff Lloyd speaking in the House of Assembly saying that based on the current outlook, the ministry has decided that it would be in the best interest of staff and students to begin the new school year by adapting 100% remote learning. He says that as they monitor the status of health conditions over a period of time, if circumstances permit, that by October 5th, there may be a possible transition from remote instruction to a hybrid or blended model of learning. And according to statistics from the Royal Bahamas Police Force, overall crime in the country decreased by 4% for the first half of 2020. The stats covered the period from January through June and show that homicides decreased by 22% with 36 incidents compared to 45 by this time in 2019. Victims between 18 and 25 represented 35% of all homicides, with conflicts being the most common motive, representing 24%. Commissioner Paul Rohl providing the numbers in his mid-year report at police headquarters yesterday. Rohl said 83% of all murders reported for the period were solved by the end of June. However, with Bahamas still under curfew and lockdowns for three and a half months covered by that report, he was asked to respond to those who disregard the new crime stats. He said, quote, "I give you an overview of what we did and what we are doing to ensure Bahamian people are safe." With some other figures, according to the report, armed robberies decreased by 34% with 141 incidents compared to 215 in 2019. The report also noted that armed robberies occurred mainly between 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. Vehicle theft decreased by 9% with 114 incidents reported compared to 125 during the same period last year. Hondas were the vehicle most targeted, representing 44% of all vehicles stolen. Accords and Fits were the predominantly stolen models. According to the report, 44% of the vehicles stolen were taken from parking lots, while 19% were taken from residences. House breakings decreased by 13% with 278 incidents compared to 319 in 2019. Overseas, Kuwait's 91-year-old ruling emir left Thursday morning for the United States to seek further medical care after recently undergoing surgery. Kuwait has yet to elaborate on what required Sheikh Sabah al-Ahmad al-Sabah to seek a previously unannounced medical treatment beginning Saturday and a surgery Sunday. However, Sheikh Sabah's sudden surgery could inspire a renewed power struggle within Kuwait's ruling family. The state-run KUNA news agency quoted a statement from the country's royal court saying Sheikh Sabah left based on advice from the medical team treating His Highness to complete his treatment after successful surgical procedure. And police in Bolivia's major cities have recovered the bodies of hundreds of suspected victims of the coronavirus from homes, vehicles, and in some instances, the streets. Hospitals are full of COVID-19 patients and short of staff, keeping their gates closed and hanging out signs that say, quote, "There is no space." and the Bolivian government says the peak of the outbreak is not expected until August. Desperation is growing in one of Latin America's poorest countries, which seems overwhelmed by the virus even as it endures political turmoil stemming from a flawed election and the ouster of President Evo Morales last year. A plan to hold elections in September, seen as a key to stabilizing its democracy, is increasingly in doubt as the pandemic worsens. Some funeral homes have hired more staff to cope with the influx of the dead, and hearses at the main cemetery in the capital of La Paz line up daily to deliver bodies. With little space available, the mayor's office only allows burials for people from the municipality and charges more than $100 for cremation, a huge sum for most Bolivians. A private cremation service costs twice as much. In sports, according to Yahoo Sports, World Athletics has reviewed the request from Bahamian Shane Milowibo for a schedule change for next year's Olympics and could not grant the request. It stated that the decision is final. All that means is that for the first time in her Olympic career, the Bahamian superstar athlete will contest the women's 200 meters at the Olympics. She will not defend her 400-meter title unless, of course, she changes her mind. As it is set up right now, The two events cross in the middle of the track segment of the games, with the 400 meters first round taking place in the morning session and the 200 meters final in the evening, about 12 hours apart. World Athletics has stated that would be the best case scenario given the nature of other events, particularly as it relates to the introduction of the mixed 4x400 meter relay. Milowibo has stated that this would have to be done to accommodate a 200-400 double at the Olympics, with the revised schedule not yet announced. Given the postponement of the games due to the coronavirus pandemic, there's a glimmer of hope that a schedule change could occur, but given World Athletics' statement on Milowibo's request, it appears that a change is unlikely. Be that as it may, the Bahamas Olympic Committee has said it will continue to beckon and petition on behalf of Milowibo's request. You can read more about that in today's Guardian Sports section. And the Bahamas Triathlon Association, only able to have one triathlon competition staged this year. Once the COVID-19 pandemic slows down, organizers hope to have three more competitions later this year. The only event to be held before the pandemic brought a screeching halt to the competition was the beautiful Bahamas Triathlon, Duathlon, and Aquathlon competition staged by Sea Waves Triathlon Club back in February. BTA President Dorian Roach says they're hoping to have a meet by the end of the year. Overseas, it's opening day at last for Major League Baseball. The baseball season that was on the brink before it even began because of the virus outbreak is set to start tonight, when excitable Max Scherzer and the world champion Washington Nationals host prized ace Gerrit Cole and the New York Yankees. When it does get underway, the DC forecast calls for thunderstorms. The latest rocky inning in this what-can-go-wrong game. It'll mark the most bizarre year in the history of Major League Baseball. A 60-game season starts with stars opting out, but ballparks will also have no fans. Players will be wearing masks, piped-in sound effects, cardboard cutouts for spectators, spray-painted ads on the mound, pitchers with personal rosin bags, and a rack of strange rules designated hitters in the National League, an automatic runner on second to start the 10th inning. And as a poignant reminder of the times we're living in, a Black Lives Matter stencil can be put on mounds throughout the majors during the opening weekend. Again, it all gets underway tonight. Finally, that's sports. And that's the overnight. Time for your first look at weather. In your weather for today, we've got rich tropical moisture flowing across the area, along with a tropical wave in the vicinity near the southeast Bahamas. It's going to continue to support pockets of unsettled weather across the islands. Meanwhile, building surface high pressure produces moderate to fresh breezes today as well. Boaters should be alert for possible waterspouts out on the seas, and there remains an elevated risk of rip currents, especially along eastern shorelines. Your forecast for today for all areas, variably cloudy, warm, and breezy, with scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms. Partly cloudy tonight with isolated showers and a few possible thunderstorms. Smallcraft caution remains in effect. Expect gusty winds and higher seas in or near heavy showers and thunderstorms. Winds east to southeast at 15 to 20 knots, gusty at times, seas 4 to 7 feet higher in gusts. It's about 82 degrees right now, and mostly cloudy skies. We're expecting highs to get up to around 90 Fahrenheit, 32 Celsius. Overnight lows tonight getting down to about 76 Fahrenheit, 24 Celsius. That's your first look at weather this morning. We'll have your extended outlook coming up after traffic in just a bit.
Wake up, it's a new day. Wake up.
You're listening to Morning Blend. When we come back, we're discussing the day's top stories right here on Guardian Radio 96.9. Your home for fresh news and smart talk all day.
Strong winds demand strong insurance. And now that hurricane season is here, it pays to talk to the strongest. Bahamas First, the leading general insurance provider in the Bahamas. Through our agents, Bahamas First provides competitive pricing and a wide range of insurance options for your home, vehicle, marine vessels, and your business. For market-leading protection for the things that matter most, think Bahamas First. First in insurance, today, tomorrow.
Stay a step ahead of technology with certainty and support from Custom Computers. Our know-how team is here to help you zero in on your next big tech purchase, finding solutions that take your productivity to the next level using only the best and most reliable brands. With 4 stores all across Nassau on East Bay, West Bay, Old Fort Bay, and Palmdale, there's no stopping you from stepping up your tech. Reach out to us at 396-1100. Find trust in your tech. Count on Custom Computers.
Strong winds demand strong insurance. And now that hurricane season is here, it pays to talk to the strongest. Bahamas First, the leading general insurance provider in the Bahamas. Through our agents, Bahamas First provides competitive pricing and a wide range of insurance options for your home, vehicle, marine vessels, and your business. For market-leading protection for the things that matter most, think Bahamas First. First in insurance, today, tomorrow.
Digital banking, online. RBC,
RBC Banking Online. Pay your bills anytime.
RBC Digital Banking is so easy. Granny and Grandad can do it. Sign up for online banking or download the RBC Caribbean app.
With RBC,
it's safe and easy. Send your money hassle-free.
RBC.
Visit rbc.com/Caribbean/bank at home. RBC Royal Bank. Banking reimagined.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Wake up. It's a new day. Wake up. It's a new day.
Welcome back to Morning Blend here on Guardian Radio 96.9. We are streaming live on GuardianTalkRadio.com and on the Guardian Radio app for smart devices. We're also on your televisions on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 and BTC Flow Channel 612. Once again, I'm Dwight Strawn. Joining me now, Aaron Green. Good morning, Aaron Green.
Good yawning this morning, Dwight. Good yawning.
Great to have you with us off air. I can tell you're ready, fired up, and ready to go.
No, man, I'm upset. Huh? I'm upset.
You're upset?
I'm upset.
Oh, boy.
Because, you know, I invested my whole pension in sea grape, right? Mm-hmm. Well, and some Royal Crown pigeon and in some Imperial pigeon. Like, they just wouldn't stop eating. I mean, these by them eat. Last year, they ate every single sea grape off my neighbor's trees.
Well, we've got very few people on the beaches allowing them to become cannibals by feeding them chicken. And so now they have to come further inland and...
It's not us, you know. It's their nature, right? When the food source decreases, they adapt and they look for other food.
Right.
Like Juan said, he caught a bunch of cranes or seagulls terrorizing some rats on Village Road South.
Well,
that's far from the beach, you know.
Well.
But I mean, you know, just like humans, these birds are adaptable.
Of course.
They know how to survive.
They might be better at adapting than we are. But yeah, they will do what it takes. They will do what it takes. What do we do?
Well, people are doing what they think it takes, right? Mm-hmm. And in the absence of clear direction, in the absence of information and assistance, people are just going to keep moving forward, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they're just going to keep pushing forward, whether they're breaking the rules or not.
Wow.
Because that's human nature.
Oh, boy. Scary stuff, but we're going to get into it all this morning. You can join our conversation as well. We are on Twitter, at MorningBlend969, or Facebook, facebook.com/MorningBlend969. You can email us as well, MorningBlend@NASGuard.com, or you can text us on the Guardian Radio text line, powered by BTC, 422-4796. Standard text rates apply. Coming up this morning, more weather, traffic, and business news. In our 8 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking with Doctors Hospital. But a lot to get to this morning, and we're going to do that right now with what's in the news. As we said, a lot to get to in the news, and we got some answers to questions that we were debating all morning yesterday, whether this was an intentional thing, whether somebody could not have possibly foreseen that folks in Grand Bahama might want to get away from Grand Bahama, not just because of a lockdown, but because, hey, COVID cases are on the rise, I don't want to get sick, I want to get out, and apparently they didn't think about it until later in the day when they heard that everybody was trying to leave. So we're going to get into that in a bit, in just a second. Just want to quickly mention this, because I know if we don't say this now, we won't get a chance to talk about it, but we had the Minister of Education on the show on Monday, and he said that by midweek, we would know what the decision was on schools for the fall. And so it has been confirmed, even though we knew before it was going to be September 21st for the start for public schools, for students to be returning for instruction. It has been decided that it needs to be 100% remote learning. So... better start thinking about it now. Who's going to be at home with the kids while they're there online?
Yeah,
for the start of the school year.
I'd recommend people go online and do research about local homeschooling options and opportunities, and then go online and look at experiences of people in the U.S. and in Canada organizing homeschooling options and opportunities for their kids right now.
Right.
You know, this thing is happening across the globe.
Right.
And so there's a lot of good information out there.
Absolutely. Of course. We don't know. Perhaps by September, the parents may be home too. So that might solve a lot of those problems. But hopefully it doesn't come to that.
Well, no, even if the parents are home, right? Like, even if the parents are home, that's even better.
They still need help.
Because then parents can run and manage homeschool operations, homeschooling operations, right? That's even better.
Right. Well, yes, for that. But for sanity and accomplishing the tasks at hand, We saw in the beginning of the year that there were some issues with that. But hopefully by then people, as you say, use this time to examine the possibilities and try to improve on what went wrong if things did go wrong for you in March and April.
And then maybe on the government side, we'll see some legislation, not forcing, but compelling. You know, that's a much better word, compelling internet service providers. Oh. To provide Wi-Fi hotspots in densely populated areas, and to provide a basic minimum free package for the purpose of, right? So, I mean, technology is grand. They, you know, Elon Musk put a whole car on a rocket and send it into space. So I imagine that we can figure out how to legislate at the minimal cost, which could be covered by incentives, mm-hmm. basic access for registered tablets, right? Mm-hmm. So that only these tablets can connect to this free Wi-Fi system across the nation.
Yeah.
Now would, be an excellent time for the government to compel both BTC and Cable Bahamas to revisit their initial contracts, right? And their initial promises about ensuring the installation of internet service across the archipelago, even on our most far-flung islands like Mayaguana and Goat Key and thing. Even goats want to entertain themselves.
I was going to say, someone's on Goat Key?
But listen, all I'm saying is these birdemen obligated themselves, right, to provide this service. Mm-hmm. And now would be a great time for the government to talk to them about living up to that promise.
Yeah, yeah. As you say, we've got some time right now. Let's not wait until September 20th to have that discussion.
No.
Right? And the Minister of Education is saying that if things improve by October 5th, they could be the blended model, the hybrid model, where, you know, some students come in and some stay home and half day this and that and whatever it is by then if things improve.
And let's, you know, let's prioritize or let's focus heavily on what early learning facilities and preschool, primary care, and first to fourth grade students need, because from what I've been reading and what I've been hearing, they need more hands-on Absolutely. And face-to-face Yeah. engagement than 100% online mm-hmm. Syllabus can provide.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So, again, yesterday, we were all just flabbergasted by what happened. People returning from or coming in from Grand Bahama met by the police at the airport. And is rounded up the right thing to say? Is ushered into police vehicles, vans, buses, and
they were detained.
Detained.
With no notice.
Not a piece of it.
Yeah.
And taken, eventually, some sitting on the tarmac, we're told, for many hours, and taken to what apparently was a quarantine facility that they knew nothing about. The Prime Minister apologizing for this distress, explaining himself in the House of Assembly yesterday. Take a listen to this report, and then we can talk more about it. This report from our Jasmine Brown.
I would like to apologize to those Bahamians who were definitely inconvenienced, in that some may have had accommodations waiting for them, and they too would have been placed in such temporary facilities until proper health investigation was completed.
The Prime Minister's apology in Parliament came the morning after Bahamas Air passengers who landed at LPIA from Grand Bahama and Fort Lauderdale last evening were placed in government quarantine upon landing. Passengers had not been advised in advance that they would be placed into quarantine upon arrival.
Obviously, Mr. Speaker, this would have caused great stress and duress and inconvenience for many Bahamians, because they would not have known that such a measure had been taken. But I want to assure them that such a measure was taken to ensure the safety not only of themselves, but ensure the safety and the survival of the entire Bahamas.
PM added that officials tried to do their best to ensure there were enough accommodations for those being placed in quarantine. The development comes as COVID-19 cases continue to soar in the country, with Grand Bahama emerging as a hotspot. Grand Bahama will begin a two-week lockdown on Thursday. Minnis, whose remarks were unscripted, said there was excess travel load as Grand Bahama's borders were closing, and the decision to place arriving passengers in quarantine was made to protect the safety of the country amid a surge in COVID-19 cases. He insisted that had the travelers not been put into quarantine, the Bahamas could have seen rampant infections.
There were excess passenger load of individuals who wanted to come to New Providence, and as a result of that, the health system was essentially overwhelmed. The concerns the health professionals had at that time that individuals, because of the excess numbers of individuals being brought to the capital, many of them would have been lost in the system and subsequently migrate and permeate into the society.
Minnis insisted his administration is determined that a total meltdown will not occur.
The virus is here. It's not going anywhere. And we must deal with it. And we must always try to remain in front of it.
Reporting for Guardian News Network, I'm Jasmine Brown.
Aaron and I already have a great conversation off air about this. Yeah, let's continue what we said off air, Aaron. I was saying how yesterday I don't understand how they couldn't foresee this, as based on conversations I had with people in Grand Bahama saying, like, why are you staying there? This is not the place to be at this time. Why don't you, right? How could you not foresee that some people would want to leave? And that they wouldn't wait until Friday when you decide whether this is a problem.
You locking it down to prevent people from leaving. Mm. Like, and you made these statements. You talked about a potential of patrolling the island, the borders of the island, to prevent people from coming in and out. Mm. You spoke specifically about shutting down modes of transportation and that the only thing that should be moving in and out is the movement of goods and services. There's a massive, massive disconnect somewhere going on. I personally think it's a lack of empathy, right? It's one of those soft skills that's difficult to inculcate. It's difficult to teach on the job. It's difficult to ensure that it's being practiced, right? But like you say, why did you not think of this? And then why do you think that anybody who would want to leave Grand Bahama is like a criminal and should be treated in this manner? Mm-hmm. And there's no apologies. You know how much money you got to apologize with, sir? These are human rights breaches. It's not warranted an apology. You detain people. You refuse to inform them about what's going on. You act as if they have no need to know. Mm-hmm. And then as opposed to spending the resources necessary to ensure you can live up to your obligations, you opt for breaching people's rights over and over again.
Yeah. You know, I said yesterday, I called it being a negative Nancy, hire a negative Nancy. You have a good term for it, a scientific term.
Listen, it's a systems analysis, okay. Right?
All right.
Right? I mean, like, because when you think about paying somebody for being a negative Nancy, you're not going to pay them at all. But when you realize that this is an actual technical professional job that people get paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to perform.
You got a lot of negative Nancys who call in who are paid, though. But anyway, go on.
Uh-huh. But listen, and not set up properly. Like, even those people, right? Mm-hmm. Like, even those people, if we were properly organized and structured, if the government was properly organized and structured, they would use that, right?
I was about to say, I could call some names, but I won't. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I would hire them. What do you think of this? Oh, that's going to be foolishness. Why? Because this is, well, we didn't think of that. That's a good idea. We should think about that and fine-tune what we're going to do. And how does this sound? Well, that's better.
And it's like, it's obvious that there's no systems analysis going on across the government's complement of services.
Or people are too afraid to say something.
Right.
Something is going on.
And what we're doing is we're putting civil servants in a tight spot, right? Because a lot of people are very, very, I'm going to say happy, but they are very happy to be doing the work that they're doing, and they want to do a good job.
Yeah.
And they're working in systems that just don't work.
Right.
And so, you know, we often abuse the person who's on the, you know, who we're speaking to on the line, like when they say, well, you know, that person isn't at work and they're the only person with the key. And, or worse yet, if you're moving all of your platforms to digital platforms, do you know how much work you have to do to ensure that these services are working? The onus doesn't fall on me to ensure that I get what I need to get done in your broken system. The onus is on you, government, to fix the system. Hire some systems analysts. Go to UB if you can't afford them. I know y'all could afford them, you know. If y'all took a small, slight pay cut, you could afford them. Go to UB and pay some young people to intern, right? The people who want to do governance, public service and public office and governance, give them a job.
Yeah. Or listen to the talk shows. I mean, I know many of them, I've heard them say it, many of them dismiss the talk shows because they believe everybody who's talking is opposed to them and is a chronic caller. Or an operative or something.
But do you know how many times I've had to call cabinet office to inform them that the phone system in a government office is not working?
My goodness.
That the directory is not correct? Mm-hmm. Do you know, it just, like,
it's astounding. It's crazy.
I've spent years so many hours on the phone. Like, you could imagine having to call a telecommunications company to tell them that their messaging system is not functioning. Yeah.
And as you say, you bring up these examples just to report a broken traffic light, a down line or something, the number of people you have to get to the person.
Right.
It's insane.
And it's not that people are incompetent. It's not that people are lazy. It's not that people are just inherently disgusting. They become frustrated mm-hmm. with the system that they're forced to work in. Right. And so, you know, as a single woman who only have to worry about Chicchanis and sea grape and imperial pigeon, I could quit job whenever I ready. Mm-hmm. Right. But people with children have greater obligations. And listen, imperial pigeons, I love y'all. But people with children, like y'all could take care of yourself. People with children can't just get up and quit a job in protest to say, hey, right. I am so frustrated with the pub. And but here's the thing. I know many people that have. Mm-hmm. I know many talented, qualified, mature, critical thinking people who have left the public service because they're just frustrated by the lack of functioning systems.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's get your views on it. What do you make of what the Prime Minister had to say, the actions yesterday or the day before for yesterday, and the apology yesterday, what he had to say, and the appeal that he made to and everybody?
And if anybody from the Bar Association. If anybody from the Bar Association would like
calling
to...
calling this. I don't know what you're expecting. But okay, yeah, sure.
I mean, we got 2,000 plus lawyers mm-hmm. and a barely functioning judiciary. Mm. And, you know, there are a lot of people doing great work. We got some of the world's best lawyers, right, on both the commercial and the criminal side working in our system. But the judiciary doesn't work unless it serves everybody.
Right. Well, I suspect... unless the path to some funding is clear, I don't know if anyone's going to... It appears. That seems to be what the barrier is, right?
Yeah.
Like, well, what am I doing this for? Just for fun? 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Tweet us, Facebook us, text us, 422-4796. Let's hear what you have to say. Prime Minister says we're all in this together. COVID's not going anywhere. We have to... until a vaccine is developed, we must learn to live with it. Our lives obviously will change, but we cannot lock down, open up. That can't continue. Therefore, we will have to determine as to the number and level we can live with, and our behavioral patterns will have to change. Oh, boy.
What an interesting we. Imagine if that we included all of us. Mm. Like, imagine if Bahamians could make decisions about their future as opposed to people who just like stew fish.
Oh, boy.
Because some people don't like stew fish.
Quite a few. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's take these calls. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning, Dwight.
Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
Yeah, Dwight and Aaron. Now, what I continue to see in this country is either our leaders, them, planning, have this premeditation situation in this country to keep the behemoth in a conundrum, right? Or we just need to just get the average graduate, right, and allow them to run this country. Because if our leaders are Queen College, like you guys, and university abroad graduates, right, and they come back to this country, and they act as if, you know, they can't get nothing right. What's the purpose of having these people going off to school?
I don't know why you call our school name in that.
And
people from all those schools get D's too, so I don't know.
I just want to make my point. I know Queen College is a very good school, and very good people go to that school and came from there. I have no doubt about that. But the point I was trying to make is, you know, our leaders, right, they after going off to these universities, Dwight. Mm-hmm. And then they come back and ask us if they graduated with a D average, right? Because, like you said, it's impossible for these people to not know that what transpired was going to happen.
Right.
You know, it's like they want ultimate chaos in this country because chaos in this country is profitable to a lot of people, right? And they don't. It seems that we don't ever want to get to the point where our leaders are productive right? As much as they want the citizens to be.
Mm-hmm.
But one other point I want to make, Dwight. You know, inside the news forecast, right? I mean, this is the next point to what I'm saying. The commissioner of police and a minister, right? The tout at the Bahamian people that this year compared to this year, I mean, compared to last year, the crime is down. And they actually comparing last year to this year without even mentioning the fact that COVID was in existence this year, and it possibly would lead to the trending down of crime, is ludicrous, and it caused me to understand that, like, yo, these people really look at Bahamian people as having no type of sense, because if for you to come on the radio and tell the Bahamian people in a year where, when there was no COVID, and we can compare to that year, what are you saying to me, man? Guys, have a nice day. Continue the good work.
Thanks a lot. Got a lot to say about what you said. But to the last point before I get to the first point, I mean, the commissioner did, he was asked about that. How could you compare that? And he did. He said, I'm just telling you what we got.
Right, because that's how the system works,
that's
right?
That's how it is.
And, mm-hmm. and they feel like they're pinned into the system, and this is how they have to report the stats, right? And but listen, the political culture, boss, what you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
That is the political culture. And it appears as if no matter where you've been to school or how smart your Grammy say you is, once you get inside that political culture,
you change.
It consumes you,
mm-hmm.
right? And but we can see and identify the individuals that are either, you know, having a difficulty maintaining the political culture, right? Or have just ejected themselves. Like, they just leave it.
Yeah.
They leave it alone.
Yeah.
They can't deal with it. But what we need is analysis. We need people to be able to say, look, this political culture is dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I cringe when people say the D thing, the D average thing. Of course, you know, in this BGCSE system, the D is a pass. And I'm sure we have not seen the transcripts of these cabinet ministers or any of the cabinet ministers we've ever had. So we don't know if they were mediocre students or not. Not that that means anything. I'm just saying. So we don't make these types of assumptions. We don't know what we're dealing with, really. You'd be surprised.
Right,
how some of these people did when they're in school, no matter what professions they have.
Right, and you know, I think it's less about getting a D and more about what a D means to you,
mm-hmm.
right? And if you think a D is sufficient, the question is, are you a critical thinker? You know, do you understand how much more you can achieve, right, with either better circumstances, more resources, or a better attitude, right, like more dedication? And that's more important to talk about. But this culture of anti-intellectualism, right, is problematic. We also need to engage in that. And let me just throw a little shout out to our playwrights and our artists and our cultural stakeholders, because those are the people that have these conversations and then bring them back to us.
Yeah, don't get caught up in that D-average conversation. That is being used to hold some people down in this country.
Because there are a lot of people who who only achieved a D that are great critical thinkers.
Absolutely.
Or needed to leave.
Fantastic workers.
Right.
Right? And so that's being done by certain people, I am convinced, to explain why I have to bring in labor. Because, look at this. What am I?
Yeah.
Look what you're offering for me. I can't work with this, and I have to import.
We need to change our perspective on what education means and how it operates in society. The majority of people I know, you know, like, they left high school and became wiser people.
Yeah. Far better than they were when they were in high
school.
Right.
And absolutely. It don't matter how they scored. A lot of them were lone A's and B's.
Mm-hmm.
But they became wiser, and in some instances, they became nicer people.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. I know a lot of those. Let's take some more calls. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
A godly day to you, along with you and Aaron Dwight.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. You all talked about what's missing, a listening link and stuff like that, right? And critical thinking, right?
Mm-hmm.
The conclusion I came to, this whole situation is a synthesis situation. Okay?
Okay.
And my last point before I go, right? I wish that they would develop the university University of the Bahamas. Those law the doctors, what they said doesn't have anything to do, put them in there to, you know, make some things happen for our country. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Good morning, caller. You're on the air. Are you there? Good morning. Nope, 323-6232. 325-4316. 325-4259.
Turn down your radio. Are you still there, caller?
I'm here, and how you doing?
Hi, good morning.
Good.
Okay, great. Yeah, I just turned it on. And good morning to the nation. Mm-hmm. Aaron, I happen to be one of those who loves to fish as well.
I was going to recommend you to be a system analyst. Would you be interested in that?
But you know something, right? Aaron hit on something that's very important, and unfortunately, in particular in government environments, which I spent 15 years in before I was victimized by this. Anyway, there's a problem with anti-intellectualism. Aaron is correct about that. Okay, and changing cultures and implementing systems and knowing how to implement systems, because not everybody knows how to do that. How to implement systems. And when you implement systems, Dwight, the objective of those systems is to create a smooth operating, efficient, updated, more effective program that will get the end results. And that goes completely against the grain of cultures that particularly government staff have been used to accepting for 20, 30 years of their career. Mm-hmm. And so going against the grain, you're almost standing on your own. Because when you're involved in an environment that's political, where your leaders are more concerned about popularity rather than efficiency, you're almost standing on a mountaintop shouting by yourself. And so that's something that you need a government that is about that level of thinking and that will promote that and support it in order for that to work. But getting to my point that I really wanted to talk on, right? Because all of what the Prime Minister was talking about yesterday, I was speaking about yesterday on your show as well, right? And what I want to say to you and Aaron and the nation is the focus doesn't need to be on the people and the people wanting to get out of Freeport. Okay, that does not matter. That is only a byproduct. The focus should have been the government is implementing regulations. In order to accompany those regulations and affect those regulations, this is what is required. And so the government has fallen down from the most basic level. They shouldn't have to be concerned about thinking what behemoths are going to do or what behemoths are not going to do. Their thinking should be, this is the program that we want to implement. What does it take to impact and affect the program to ensure that it accomplishes the end result? And that is where the government is falling down with its systems. And finally, Dwight, Aaron, and the nation, if you listen to what the commissioner of police said, if you listen to what the deputy chief medical officer said, and no disrespect to the chief medical officer, but I really appreciate hearing from him. I really appreciate his honesty, his forthrightness, and his preparedness to protect his integrity. They said that this decision was given to them by the cabinet. Now, I expected the commissioner of police, who is sitting in an independently protected position, to look at the laws and say to the cabinet, look, my brothers and sisters, this is not in the law. I am the authority on executing laws in the country as it relates to policing, and I cannot support that. If you want somebody to carry out these directives which are against the law or which are not supported in law, then you all need to find somebody else. And I would hope the next time the cabinet comes to him trying to compromise him and the Royal Bahamas police force, that he would take that strong position with them. Thank you very much, and God bless, because what they did was illegal. Goodbye.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Look here, Antoine, great. Here's what I can say. Look here, you thick skin, and you deal with this criticism. Take that energy and take that skill and that talent you have and offer it to your party and tell them, look here, you do the training, you get yourself certified, become a systems analysis and go in there and help them strengthen the party itself so that we can bring these policy ideas that you bring to the radio to the House of Assembly.
Yes. Yes, Aaron.
Yeah, man.
Yes. Because critically take a look at his party. Yes, I agree.
Yeah, man. And that's what all the parties need. Because the current political culture prevents that internal introspection and analysis. And it rejects anybody that comes to the party to offer that. Anybody within the party that offers that.
They usually leave to form their own party after they try to do that.
Because usually the process is also violent, right? And it's a hostile and aggressive process where we are unable to take critique and we see it as an attack and then we respond to an attack versus constructive critique.
Mm-hmm. Let's take some more calls and we'll get to your text messages. Good morning, caller. You're on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, I don't know what the other caller is talking about. We talked about reduction in crime. A few months ago, it was my group, we did a study, and it's basically the curfew and all that stuff affected the numbers. And the official acknowledged that, too, so I don't know what that caller was saying. I don't think nobody's hiding behind anything. The stats shows where the curfew and all that stuff affected the stats.
Sure. I think he's suggesting that nobody should be patting themselves on the back if anyone was doing that. Not that anyone was doing that. But this is nothing based on what we're talking about.
Nobody is trying to say that patting themselves on the back is as a result of.
No, a couple people.
Yeah.
Somebody did.
People, maybe not the commissioner, but people have been doing that.
Yeah, because I mean, it was obvious. Even me and you and our small groups would have analyzed, hey, you know, this will cause a reduction. This would help the police out and whatever situation of crime. And, the people were locked in at a certain time.
Well, actually, some of these numbers are very disturbing. I think we're going to get to that in a few minutes, but it should have been a greater reduction.
Yeah, more than 4%.
Yeah, this is a lot of stuff was happening.
Right. And
shouldn't have been happening with all these lockdowns and curfews.
Yeah. Well,
and how many people?
Now, they could control, like they say, You try to minimize. It can never be perfect. I mean,
sure,
that's the bottom line.
Right. I'm not saying the police could have prevented anything. I'm just saying that
it's a home problem, right? When you have issues, the teacher can't solve it. The politicians can't solve it. It's a home issue.
But that's okay because like with child sexual abuse, like we wrote legislation that said, hey, if you're a teacher and you have any indication that there's something going on, or if you are informed or you become aware that the child is being abused, you have an obligation to report that, right? So
Right. But it's also interesting that you say that because the politicians can't solve it, when we're 3 years into any administration. But a year before the election, all the politicians can solve it. They all tell you that they can fix it. But obviously they can't. But they keep saying it. So that's very interesting. When will that stop?
You just can minimize crime. That's all. I appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot. Yeah, I hope they remember that. Right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Don't come right here, 2021. Oh, we can reduce. Yeah, stop it.
And don't come here and use the COVID stats, right?
Right,
like people
exactly.
You arrested
Look what we did.
For going for water because they accessed their water from the pump, the community pump, right? Like, don't include those numbers, And we look at systems, right? Like with this whole COVID thing, what is this system of order supposed to produce? Mm-hmm. Well, what we're trying to produce is a reduction to minimize the risk of contracting or the risk of the spread, right? And so the actions that you take on should all work to minimize that. But locking people up for small and petty offenses, as opposed to creating a system where you can identify and document breaches in the COVID, right? And then monitor people to ensure or to encourage behavioral change, right? Like, let's focus on that. I think that's how the system is supposed to work. So let's have none of those. Let's have no more of this bragging that we locked up 1,500 people during the lockdown.
And that we solved how many percentage, what percentage of the murders they solved? Solved, yet the murderers or alleged murderers always walking around. Out on bail or doing whatever they want, always, but it was solved. But okay.
Yeah, isn't it? Wow. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
Ooh.
Mm. All right, let's take this call and we've got to get to your messages because we want to talk about that crime issue. We've got
a lot
to say about that, so we want to move on. But let's take this final call and we'll get to your messages on this and then we'll take a break and come back to crime. Good morning.
Mr. Strong, good morning. How are you doing?
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Mr. Green, how are you doing?
Good, good.
I was going to recommend you be assistant analyst as well.
This morning?
Me personally,
yep.
I was going to recommend you.
Nothing personal, just Right. The criticism.
Before you go on, I'm going to recommend you to be a system analyst. You're interested in that?
Oh, no, Mr. Strong. No? I work for okay. people. I mean, no disrespect, right? Mm. No disrespect. When you confide to certain things, you are restricted. Okay, certain things you can't say. Okay, so it's best to be a freelance payment. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but see, you're missing the beauty of it. You don't have to be a consultant or an analyst for
no, Ms. Green. With all due respect, right?
Yeah, just for
the
country.
Okay,
for the country.
No,
you
know what I'm saying? Private business. Look here, you know how many people need help growing their business, understanding the industry and the environment that they're working in, how to expand within their communities or at a nationwide level. Like, these skill sets are so necessary.
Hey, Ms. Green, know it wrong in life, right? Plenty people don't know they're calling, you know. You have to know yours and then stick with it, okay?
Oh.
And then?
Okay.
So, Mr. Strong.
Uh-huh.
You know, when you press, you always show your political colors, right?
When I'm who?
When you press. I mean, when you press, you always show your you political mean, bias towards the FNM. It's all good,
you
Mr. Strong.
One does, or me in particular?
No, actually, when you press, not in a bad way.
When you're in the corner,
you always show your bias towards the FNM, okay? But it's
me,
all good, okay?
Dwight Strong? Because
when you're talking on tone, you said his party needed some so-and-so, but
no,
that
was
wrong.
Never the point that
no,
I made.
That was what Aaron said, and I said, yes, he should do that for his party.
No, Mr. Strong, you're not personal. I mean, everybody have a right to mean to.
I think you hear what you want to hear.
Mr. Strong, I'm not your question.
But hold on, caller. If you were talking about my bias, like if you were saying, boy, Aaron, she don't like the FNM, like people would be like, you are so correct, sir. Could you hear that in every week that she comes on and gives an analysis of government?
Ms. Green.
Yes, sir.
You're a realist, right? But anybody who hear you talk, you subscribe to a philosophy of a certain party, but I ain't getting into that, okay? But
let's get into that, because I can tell you clearly, right? Let me tell you what it is. I think that the difference between the PLP and the FNM is that the FNM sees the nation as a construct, right? And the PLP sees the nation as a collection of people. And the FNM creates policies, and their whole platform is based on advancing a construct, advancing a nation, while PLPs are sort of, and I can say, stuck in this idea of advancing people, and that if you advance people, the nation construct would advance. And if I had to choose between the two, I would choose the PLP as I see them in operation, focusing on the people to push the nation construct forward. Right?
That's what I said from long time.
Well, can I say mine? Can I say how I see them? I see them.
Yeah, but let me speak after you.
Afterwards. I see them as the same. They are the same. They wear different colors, but they're the same. And I'm disgusted by both.
Okay.
Well, you happy?
But Mr. Strong, let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. If you were the professor, brother, right?
Okay.
Pardon me?
Yes. What's that?
You grew up in Monterey Lakes, Richland Park area?
I did not. What is this now? Why are you getting into private?
No, what I'm trying to say, I know you a long time. Not in a bad way. You know, disrespect.
I doubt you know me a long time, but okay.
I'm going to lose focus, right?
Uh-huh.
You can get out also. I'm going to lose focus.
No,
the man pictures this, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you see all yesterday morning, you was upset and all, and you want to be upset. You see upset all. This prime minister detained young children. People was traumatized. They gave them screens. Say people get locked up at the airport. The Mexicans came now. So who was going to rise now in Abaco? They were celebrated. You see all payments was whisked away in the middle of the night, being treated like slaves. I mean, like criminals. No food at Sun Fun or the hotel address. I mean, you see all payments really appalling. People getting treated like animals. And you know what happened right now? Allegedly, you all need a sense of cool down. To Albany, people getting on those private yachts coming in every day. Okay? Mm-hmm. Hello?
Yeah, we hear them.
I'm trying to say people coming in on those private yachts every day. To make a long story short, the prime minister, anybody can see what's happening right now. This man is losing it, I mean politically. You cannot have a cabinet, and nobody knowing nothing about happening. And then the man, first of all, do the biggest injustice going is going to rise. When you have a press conference, you take questions from the press. Mm-hmm. You can't say things, and then nobody asks you a question, and then every cabinet minister should be ashamed of himself. I mean, they ain't worth nothing politically. I mean, them niggas, sorry to say.
Come on now.
Pardon me, Mr. Strong.
Yeah, we don't like that.
Mr. Strong, I'm not being defensive. I say he ain't worth nothing politically.
Yeah, but you said that word. Watching this man
lock people up, who homeless, all kind of foolishness happening, mm-hmm. and they ain't saying nothing.
Mm-hmm.
All you're doing is collecting a check, and then you bring Charles Robinson back to get a salary, and people starving. Well, I mean, what's going on in this country, Mr. Strong?
Yeah, it is head scratching. It's head scratching.
Like I say, tell the man stop treating people like animals, and then coming back crying on television because it ain't gonna work. You getting police officers, Mexicans come over here giving people corner riots. They getting treated like
you
kings
can't
and queens.
You can't say that. Locked up.
We don't know if that's what happened.
We're not certain.
It is frustrating. It is upsetting. It is that was uncalled for, unnecessary yesterday, the day before yesterday. And the apology will not be enough for most people.
No, and it's not enough for our Constitution. It's not enough for the rule of law, right? More is required of you, sir. Dear Prime Minister, more is required of you. But dear caller, you cannot ever come on this radio and tell us about everybody got their own calling. You born to be an analyst, a systems analyst, and you better get to some training and get yourself some certification and figure out how you're going to make some money helping people to improve their businesses, their organizations, and their community programs. Because you wasting your talent on the PLP and the FNM. They don't rate you. They ain't rated with you. You need to go invest your talents where they are deserved. Get away from this political culture. This political culture turning you into a politician. Yeah. Get away from that.
During the break, I'm going to have a drink of some water, and we'll be back. This is Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9.
You say things you should not say, but I never meant to treat my baby that way. I apologize.
Believe me.
Oh, believe me, I do. I apologize.
It's time for your morning business report. The war at Paradise Island stating it has no plans to close its doors and lay off staff as a result of the government's most recent travel restrictions. The resort refuted social media reports that it and Hotel Rio Palace Paradise Island would close next week Tuesday until further notice. Warwick General Manager Benjamin Davis said the resort is currently open and operating with guests in-house and is providing special offers for residents in the marketplace. Guardian Business did not get clarification from Rio as to what's happening with them after press time, but both hotels reopened on July 1st when the country's borders were reopened following a four-month lockdown because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Both hotels boasted of new extensive safety protocols and social distancing measures in line with the Ministry of Tourism and Aviation's Clean and Pristine Responding to COVID-19 program. Public Service and National Insurance Minister Brenzel Rolls says the National Insurance Board will likely spend around $100 million from its fund to facilitate social safety net measures needed as a result of COVID-19 pandemic. Up to the first week of July, NMBA paid out more than $60 million in unemployment benefits. But given the extended closure of the tourism economy, and with approximately 34,000 workers still unemployed or furloughed, Rolls says NIB will have to spend more. Atlantis Resort will not reopen until November. Tourism Minister Dionisio de Aguilar confirming this yesterday. The resort announced last week that it was once again pushing its July 31st reopening back due to the rising number of COVID-19 cases in its source market, the United States. But it did not indicate at the time when it planned to reopen. DeAguilar says the resort has indicated to him that the reopening would be a period slightly before Thanksgiving. And parliamentarians debated and passed a resolution for the conversion of $37 million in Bahamas Development Bank bonds to a loan with the National Insurance Board. The BDB The Development Bank is seeking to have its sinking fund released to meet the significant demand for credit at this time. Tourism Minister Dini Sidiagla led off debate on behalf of the Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Finance Peter Turnquest, who was in self-quarantine. He said the BDB has not been sufficiently recapitalized over the years, and to address this critical need, the government is obliged to provide a guarantee in support of the NIB bond to loan conversion. In your Market Watch recapping trading on the BISX from Wednesday, your market movers, Commonwealth Bank moving 27,209 shares, closing at 390, up 3 cents. Cable Bahamas Series 6 moving 1,000, closing at 1,000 unchanged. Consolidated Water up 2 cents, closing at 252. Emira Incorporated down 2 cents, closing at 1007. The BISX All Share Index closing at 2,099.17, up 3.92. That's your Market Watch, and that is your morning business report. The time for morning traffic alert brought to you by RBC Royal Bank. In your real-time traffic at this hour, we are seeing the traffic building on Smile Butler Highway. That's northbound, those northbound lanes as you get closer to Tawny Williams Darling Highway. Glasson Road, a much better alternate route at this hour for you, especially if you're heading northbound. Blue Hill Road, the traffic is also building up there as you get in the Carmichael Road, Soldier Road area. And especially as you get closer to Independence Drive, you're coming over that hill there, approaching that roundabout. Elsewhere, we're seeing some building traffic at the major intersections along Prince Charles Drive, Robinson Road, and along Wolf Road. So keep that in mind at this hour. And at East Bay Street, at the foot of the old Paradise Island Bridge, you're going to be seeing traffic there, and at the foot of the new bridge as well, heading to the City Poitiers Bridge at this hour. That's what we're looking at. That's your real-time traffic and your morning blend traffic alert brought to you by RBC Royal Bank. The time for another check of your weather for today. We've got rich tropical moisture flowing across the area. That's along with a tropical wave near the southeast Bahamas. All of this will support pockets of unsettled weather across the islands. Meanwhile, building surface high pressure will produce moderate to fresh breezes today as well. Boaters should be alert for possible waterspouts, and there remains an elevated risk of rip currents along eastern shorelines. For all areas today, your forecast calls for variably cloudy, warm, and breezy conditions with possible waterspouts and scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms. Partly cloudy tonight with scattered showers, isolated thunderstorms. Small craft caution in effect. Gusty winds and higher seas expected in or near showers and thunderstorms. 82 degrees right now in Nassau. Look for highs getting up to 90 Fahrenheit. 32 Celsius. Overnight lows tonight getting down to 76 Fahrenheit, 24 Celsius. In your extended outlook, residual moisture from Tropical Depression number 8 in the Gulf of Mexico, along with an upper-level low shifting west across the northwest Bahamas, will maintain cloudiness along with increased shower chances through Saturday. So for tomorrow, Friday, we're looking at variably cloudy, warm, and breezy conditions with scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms. Saturday, partly cloudy, warm, and breezy, with isolated showers and thunderstorms. In the tropics, we've got Tropical Depression number 8 in the central Gulf of Mexico. And we have Tropical Storm Gonzalo. Gonzalo is out in the Atlantic and is expected to strengthen while heading west. Could become a hurricane today. as a 5 o'clock Gonzalo was about 970 miles east of the southern Windward Islands. Gonzalo is moving toward the west near 12 miles per hour, a westward motion and a faster forward speed is expected, followed by a turn toward the west-northwest on Saturday. On the forecast track, the center of Gonzalo would approach the Windward Islands by late Friday and Saturday. Maximum sustained winds have increased to 65 miles per hour. As we said, further strengthening is forecast over the next couple days could become a hurricane today. We'll keep you posted on Tropical Storm Gonzalo. That's your Morning Blend weather check. We'll be back with more Morning Blend after these messages here on Guardian Radio 96.9.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair, you say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Wendy's, we know that quality and affordability are important to families. You can now feed your fam with our new family pack. This pack includes one day single and one spicy chicken sandwich and two 10-piece nuggets with four regular fries for just $19.99, including VAT. Add on four regular Coke drinks for $4 more. Available in Nassau and Freeport at participating locations for carryout and drive-through only. Show your family some love. Treat them with Wendy's. Restrictions apply.
Four nights or more at any participating hotel on any family island and fly there for free? What happened, Mavis? You know how I just have visions?
Yeah.
I just had a vision and I heard a voice say, pocket bites.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a plane come in front of me as clear as day.
What?
And the writing on the plane said, book four nights or more at any participating hotel on any family island and fly there for free.
Wow!
A website was there too.
Tell me your website, let me type it in my phone.
www.bahamasresidence.com.
Mavis, there, your vision right. Let me book this hotel. What island you want to go to?
Any island, honey.
Now is the perfect time with our 2-fly-free Bahamas Residence offer. Go to bahamasresidence.com for more info.
Screws and Fasteners World, Balfour Avenue and Palm Beach Street, has those hard-to-find fasteners for you right now. You can find stainless steel regular hex, carriage bolts, galvanized bolts, threaded rods, nails, self-tap screws, sex bolts, anchor bolts, turnbuckles, masonry tools, hand tools, and weed whacker strings. Check out the rope selection and car body fasteners, too. Special orders are welcome. It's your number one fastener store. Screws and Fasteners World, Balfour Avenue and Palm Beach Streets. Call 326-1976.
Wake up. It's a new day. Wake up. It's a new day. It's the start of the start of a new way. You know that this is the start of the end of the old way. Wake up.
We are back here with Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Dwight Strollo with Aaron Green. We caught ourselves, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We are talking about what's in the news. Getting a reaction to what we heard from the Prime Minister of the House yesterday. What's been happening with COVID? 25 new cases. That's a record for one day, and now we're well over 200 cases in total since March. Mm. Boy. So let's read your message quickly, and then we want to get to the crime situation. This one says, this text here, I have many family members who live in Grand Bahama, and one of them wanted to leave before the lockdown. That mass exodus did not occur to me either. Did not occur to you either? Did not? But you said you had a family member who wanted to leave before.
But he's saying he didn't think it would have been so many.
Oh, that many?
People.
Really?
Right. And then we discount there may have been people who were working in Grand Bahama who went to visit family members in Grand Bahama to make sure that they were okay.
Right. They weren't all Grand Bahamians.
Right. And wanted to get back to Nassau to their family. Like, you know,
we heard that yesterday. People called and said that there were some folks who had to get a connecting flight later in the week. And if they were stuck in Grand Bahama, they were going to miss their flight to their country that they wanted to get back to. And a caller yesterday who said their niece was from New Providence wanted to come back home.
Yeah.
So a lot of people who...
We could have had a lot of... we could have had construction workers who are doing hurricane prep work in Grand Bahama.
Or cleanup work. They're still, right? People recovering from Dorian, All right. This one says, the Bahamas is such an easy place to govern. The majority of its people are extremely submissive to government rule and are unwilling to push back on almost anything. Also, we tend not to support and fight for others whose lives are impacted, especially when the fight doesn't affect us. Unfortunately, we will continue to be lorded on for decades more until we realize the power is with us.
It really operates like a plantation sometimes.
Someone says, we have systems analysts here, Aaron, but I'm sure the government will go to India or Israel or Estonia for some nice white people. Okay. Like I heard one person proudly state, they'd liaise with an international university to find out how to prepare a business continuity plan. Same person then expressed shock some weeks later at the level of detail Cable Bahamas had in their business continuity plan, and Cable isn't alone. Check the banks. Okay. Boy. This one says, it's not fair how Arawak Key and Potter's Key vendors are being treated. Other eateries are open. Boy. This one says, here, there's...
Hold on, let's just touch on that for a second. I remember when fish fry started, right? And look here, I am all for people working. I'm all for people being industrious. I'm all for people carving out new spaces, right? But I remember when the booths on Arawak Key were supposed to be temporary. Like, when you get a vendor's permit, like a... Everything that you do, you're supposed to be able to move it at the end of the day, and there should be no evidence of you being there. And then overnight, it morphed into restaurants with eat-in dining. Just like overnight.
And upstairs.
Right?
Some three floors.
Yeah. And like I say, industry and innovation and ingenuity is great, right? But there are a whole lot of other concerns about the establishment there, including environmental concerns. They're not the same type of business, right? And that's the first thing. Second thing, are you supposed to be there in the first place? And third thing, the business owners need to come together and figure out a system for monitoring and ensuring that COVID social distancing protocols are being maintained. Like, you guys do it yourself. There's a whole lot of things out at Fish Fry that the owners should be responsible for organizing.
So they still can't be open for delivery and curbside? That has, again?
Now, that should be...
That should still be allowed.
It should be, but I'm not certain that it is.
See, that's a problem, right?
Right.
If you don't want people hanging around... Well, a case could be made, could possibly be made, but if they should still be allowed to provide delivery, pickup, curbside.
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
If that's not the case, then, challenge it. Challenge what's going on.
If you're asking why you're not being treated like other brick-and-mortar businesses, it's because you're not a brick-and-mortar business. That's it.
Oh, boy. This is a text. This is dictatorship. There is no democracy in that airport move and the latest test on the erosion of rights by the government. This entire country is chilling in the pot, and that last move was the temp going from warm to hot, but we're still chilling. What does it take for people to stand up? My God, dog. There appears to be no integrity among the Bar Association here, sadly. Yikes. No one stands up for the people unless money is involved or some publicity. In all these years, have we seen any class action suit seriously pushed from anyone for anything? Well, there's been talk of it, but nothing much has come through.
Yeah. What about you, Dexter? Mm-hmm. What have you? I know what I was doing. Mm-hmm. Look here. I know what I was doing.
You're getting ready.
No, what I'm saying.
Oh, what you want to do?
No, what I was doing, like as an advocate, like you painting this whole everybody with this broad brush. I know what I've been doing over the last 15, 20 years. It ain't been sitting down just watching the erosion of rights. I've been actively engaging the state and civil society to ensure that my rights are being upheld. Mm-hmm. There are lots of people who are out there trying to do something, but don't discount how stressful and overwhelming living and working on this plantation can be.
Yeah.
Now, you know, before you paint people with that brush, tell us, what have you been doing?
Can't wait on everybody else to do it.
Right, like it's right? Like you want to, you can't martyr people. You want somebody to be your savior? You got to be your own savior. Mm. Or better yet, you know what? Be somebody else's savior. You stand up and do the things that you want somebody to do for you. Stand up and do them for somebody else.
Some powerful stuff. Someone says, Aaron is onto something. No matter what the talk before they're in office, when they get in charge, it would appear that the issue of allegiance and swearing to the Queen is not the people, the folks that bring up... blah, 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 blah. Okay, something's missing there. We live it daily. I'd say burn the whole thing down, but where is Guy Fawkes when he's really needed? Huh? Okay. But I think we got the point of your text there, right? And yeah, the talk changes.
This political culture,
instantly.
The political culture is amazing. It's powerful and overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't think your politician friends need your support, like need communal support to stay straight and not get overwhelmed by that, you're joking.
Yeah.
They need us to keep them sane, to keep them balanced, to create an environment where they can practice integrity.
Right. We're going to the news. Stay with us. We're going to be back after news. This is Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Welcome back to Morning Blend here on Guardian Radio 96.9. Dwight Toronto with Aaron Green on this Thursday morning. We are live on GuardianTalkRadio.com and on the Guardian Radio app for smart devices. We're also on your televisions on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 or BTC Flow Channel 612. You can tweet us at MorningBlend969 or Facebook.com/MorningBlend969. Text us 422-4796. And now at 8:19, it's time for your final look at weather for today, brought to you by Sherwin-Williams. Here's what's happening. We've got rich tropical moisture flowing across the area with a tropical wave near the southeast Bahamas. That's going to continue to support pockets of unsettled weather across the islands. Surface high pressure is building as well, and it's going to produce some fresh to moderate breezes today. Boaters should be alert for possible waterspouts, and there remains an elevated risk of rip currents along eastern shorelines. For all areas today, forecast calls for variably cloudy conditions, warm and breezy with scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms. Partly cloudy tonight with isolated showers and a few possible thunderstorms. Small craft caution remains in effect. Gusty winds and higher seas expected in or near heavy showers and thunderstorms. 83 degrees right now in Nassau. Look for highs getting up to around 90 Fahrenheit, 32 Celsius today. Overnight lows tonight getting down to 76 Fahrenheit, 24 Celsius. In your extended outlook, residual moisture from Tropical Depression 8 in the Gulf of Mexico, along with an upper-level low shifting west across the northwest Bahamas, will maintain cloudiness along with increased shower chances through Saturday. So for tomorrow, Friday, look for variably cloudy, warm, and breezy conditions with scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms. Saturday, partly cloudy, warm, and breezy with isolated showers and thunderstorms. In the tropics, we have Tropical Depression number 8 in the central Gulf of Mexico. That's heading towards the west, northwest. And heavy rains are likely over portions of Texas by the weekend. As of 5 o'clock this morning, TD-8 was about 425 miles east-southeast of Port O'Connor in Texas. The depression is moving towards the west-northwest near 9 miles per hour. The center of the depression is expected to move across the northwestern Gulf of Mexico today and Friday, and then make landfall along Texas, the coast of Texas, by Saturday. Maximum sustained winds have decreased, though, to near 30 miles per hour, and slow strengthening is forecast over the next day or so. Then we've got Gonzalo Tropical Storm Gonzalo could become a hurricane later today. It is strengthening as it moves west across the Atlantic. Gonzalo moving towards the west near 12 miles per hour, a general western motion, and a faster forward squeeze expected, followed by a turn toward the west-northwest by Saturday. On the forecast track, the center of Gonzalo would approach the Windward Islands by late Friday and Saturday. Maximum sustained winds have increased to near 65 miles per hour. Further strengthening is forecast over the next couple of days. Again, Gonzalo could become a hurricane later today. We'll keep an eye on that for you, but that's your Morning Blend weather check brought to you by Sherwin-Williams. Finding more time on your hands lately? Need to start or finish a paint project at home? Well, all three Sherwin-Williams paint and art stores are open to serve you. Find and follow them on social media for more info at Sherwin-Williams242 and check out their website at SherwinWilliamsBahamas.com. Time for your final look at traffic for this morning, brought to you by RBC Royal Bank. In your real-time traffic, we are seeing some traffic on Smile Brother Highway. Not as heavy as it normally is at this time, but as you get closer to the Tonic Williams Darling Highway roundabout, we'll be seeing the slow going there. Gladstone Road, busier now at this hour. Northbound lanes toward JFK Drive and Blue Hill Road, northbound towards Independence Drive, around about there. Elsewhere, Carmichael Road, some building traffic is ahead eastbound to Blue Hill Road and Soldier Road, especially between Blue Hill Road and as you get closer to the intersection with East Street. Heavy traffic there. We've also got the intersections with Prince Charles Drive and Foxhill Road and Prince Charles Drive and Beatrice Avenue. We've seen some traffic at those spots. And along Wolf Road, busy already at this hour, as especially the major intersections. Those are your hot spots this morning. And that's your real-time traffic brought to you by RBC Royal Bank.
Of sea and sand. Now break down the acronym like you in class. Oh, they're selling the whole country. Ooh, they're selling, aha. Now I never been down with no OPP. I talk about selling our people's property. Don't know who's doing it, so don't row me out. Don't send no police round me and tell me shush my mouth. Where's our conviction? Boy, where's our pride? We selling everything, selling our backside. Just go online, it'll make you sick. You can buy any island, just point and click. See, they're selling our country, yes. They're selling our land. They're selling our archipelago of sea and sand. Now break down the acronym like you in class. Oh, they're selling the whole country. Ooh, they're selling our
We're back here with Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Dwight Strong along with Aaron Green on this Thursday morning. The weeks are flying by, Aaron. Yeah. I don't know. Is it faster because of COVID or what's going on? Or is it? I don't know.
It probably is.
That's what it is?
Yeah.
Well, does that mean the year will be over soon and we can get past this badness? Right, exactly. Let's bang on the table like the parliamentarians.
No, knock on wood.
Well, yeah, well, same thing.
No.
With your hands the other way. Or did, okay.
Nobody know what that is. They do.
Where did they get that from?
Yeah, right. I mean, it's like a little gang, and they have to cheer each other on, though they're not actually doing anything. Yeah. I mean, if I could go as far as to say, y'all should be ashamed of yourself for the lack of discipline, the lack of empathy, the lack of professionalism, and the lack of dedication to governance, mm-hmm. right? Like, let's take the partisan out of politics, please. Mm. I mean, if I could say that.
But yeah, well, you could.
Sometimes I just get drunk on mango and thing.
Yeah. I'm going to read this one because we want to move on to the crime situation, the half-year, mid-year crime report. But I just want to read this one there. I agree that the government should have anticipated a run on the border, but because they did not, they have no right to quarantine the people who took advantage of their missteps. If they had not told, if they had not held, I guess, these individuals and the whole of Nassau was infected, riddle me this, Aaron, what would be the cry then? They were totally in their right under the emergency order.
Who was in their right? The government? Did the emergency order include a provision for mandatory quarantining of people when they arrived from Grand Bahama? Or even repatriated from another country? Was that contained in the COVID orders?
I actually think so. I think they can.
I mean, they can put it in the COVID orders. They could, because technically there's a lot, they have a lot of power in a state of emergency. Including that power is the power to restrict these things to be called basic human rights, mm-hmm. like freedom of movement, freedom of association, two of the most basic, right? Like, they can restrict your right. But did they legally put it in the COVID orders mm-hmm. that if you flew in from Grand Bahama?
No, that was not explicitly stated that right. that would happen, and it could have been said that morning.
And they could do it.
Right.
Like,
and people would have made a decision. Well, I don't think I want to deal with that.
Right.
I'll stay right here.
And if the purpose of all of this is to prevent or reduce the risk of spread, do you think keeping people on a plane, on the tarmac,
right.
for hours is doing that?
Definitely not.
Do you think if you weren't prepared to quarantine them, were you prepared to detain them and maintain the protocols, the social distancing protocols? Mm. What is the purpose of this exercise? Is it to prevent the spread or is it to punish people?
Mm. Yeah. This text here, the difference between Fisher's, the Fish Fry Potter's Key and other eateries is that the Fish Fry and Potter's Key is on government property.
Yeah, they're not brick and mortar. They don't fit. I can be honest with you. I don't think they fit the mm-hmm. technical definition of brick and mortar.
Sure. But again, what's the case? Present the case as to why they can't provide the curbside
right.
and delivery.
They should be able to do that. And all my technical people, all my IT people, get out there and offer your services to the people, man. Mm-hmm. Get them compliant. Get them working online systems. Please, help the people out, man.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the crime stats. The Commissioner of Police, Paul Rohl, having a press conference yesterday to talk about that, the half-year crime stats, some interesting things coming out of that. If you haven't heard about it, take a listen to this, and we'll talk more about it afterward. This is a report from our Kyle Joaquin.
The question which you asked, I would direct you to Captain.
The police commissioner says as it relates to those passengers who were placed in quarantine, he was only asked by Cabinet Office on Tuesday to assist with escorting them from LPIA to the quarantine facility.
I was requested to assist, and I leave that there.
Those passengers boarded the flight thinking they had escaped the lockdown in Grand Bahama, not knowing that they would be placed in quarantine upon landing in New Providence. We understand police met at least one flight on the tarmac and escorted passengers onto a bus for transfer to the quarantine facility.
These matters pertaining to COVID-19 and infections. I'm not the health people, and I stay away from that. It's for them to provide those type of information, and the laws as it relates to health as well also prevents people from divulging personal information about those people. If somebody want to talk about it themselves, that's fine. So that's why the health officials, they give you numbers and location. That's it.
During his mid-year report, the commissioner of police gave the updated crime stats, but also took time to answer questions regarding how police have enforced the emergency orders. According to Roll's mid-year report, over 1,500 people have been taken into custody for some breach of the emergency orders. They've ranged from breaking curfew and not wearing a mask in public to selling coconuts on the side of the street and walking to get water. Roll responded to criticism the police have gotten for arresting people for such offenses, saying officers have been given the authority to use their discretion.
When you stop an individual and the individual is going to give you an explanation, well, then you have to determine whether you're going to accept that explanation or not. Okay? I was driving, and I think my staff could bear me out with it. On the Western Road we were going, and this chap was just speeding, and I'm like, you know, what's the rush, man? Where are you going? But he was having an asthmatic attack, and he was trying to get home. I assisted him and to get home so he could get his nebulizer and, I don't know, you know, to get it done.
Roll insists the restrictions under the emergency orders are there for a reason and that officers will do what they must to uphold them.
If you are out there in the curfew, then you come to the roadblocks and the officers will question. If you can't give a satisfactory account of why you're out, then you're in breach.
Reporting for the Guardian News Network, I'm Kyle Joaquin.
All right, so that's a little bit about what we were talking before, about the why the police were used for the detaining the folks who came from Grand Bahama, and about COVID. But about the crime stats, so crime down overall 4% between January and June, right? And homicides are down as well compared to the same period last year. So we've got homicides down 22% between January and June. So that's 36 incidents compared to 45 last year. Victims between 18 and 25 represented 35% of all homicides, with conflicts being the most common motive, representing 24%. The commissioner says that 83% of all murders reported for the period were solved by the end of June. We talked about this earlier. Solved for them, not necessarily meaning that someone has been convicted.
Or proven to be,
right? Or anything.
Or proven to be
guilty.
That's
just what they feel.
Yeah.
We feel we have arrested the right person. Like, okay. And of course, we know what happens when they go to court. Some crazy evidence is lacking or missing or shows up to prove otherwise, and that person's out on the street or out on bail for many, many years. And then we hear that something happened to the person. They were known to police. But yeah, solved. Okay. Whatever that means.
Yeah, wow.
Can you go more on it? Bahamians under curfew and lockdowns. You heard about that? 1,500 people.
It's almost as if nobody told the police that what they were being asked to do is to help restrict the spread of the disease. Mm-hmm. It's almost as if they told them, your job is to make sure these Negroes on the plantation know how to fall in line. Mm. 1,500?
More than.
And what's amazing is the people that are not on that list. Like, that's the part that right. that gets me. The people that are not on that list but should be.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like that. And I scared. I could be
it's
honest with y'all.
More than 1,500 people.
I broke. And I need y'all to know, it don't make sense with me for like 10,000 C grade. That just don't make any sense. So I can try limit what I can say, right? But come on. Like, the person who breached the repatriation protocols and got on the flight with knowing that in their hand they had a positive test result, mm-hmm. and then flew into Grand Bahama.
Yeah.
Like, that person should be on the list. And even if you don't want to tell us their name, because we have to be very, very careful about revealing the names of people who have the virus, well, right?
Apparently.
Still, they need to be process before the courts.
Nothing about that investigation, in air quotes, right? Remember that investigation was promised in that whole matter, what happened there? But
yeah,
we were told to move on, right?
Yeah, like,
it's a different incident we were told to move on from. So many things we were told to move on from, getting them all mixed up now.
Yeah, that's how, right. But I believe there's a ladder of investigations. That's how Minnis gets to the moon to fish. It's in a ladder. Because people are, how could he get there? if you put all those investigations one by one, you could get there, though.
I think you solved it.
And it's absolutely, it's two things. It's absolutely ridiculous to be locking up by them for selling coconut water on the road, but you not locking up people, rich people, who are flagrantly breaking the rules. Mm-hmm. Don't make any sense. And what you could be doing is you could be ticketing these people and giving them community service to be served at a later date. Mm-hmm. That's what you could be doing.
Or to sanitize the streets.
Right? And why is
How
it...
How about that? We haven't done that since the first week of the case. Remember when they said they were going to sanitize? Have you seen anybody sanitizing anything?
I ain't sure. Because like sometimes these bitumens come through my neighborhood, but I don't know if they're fogging or if they're sanitizing. Because there's no notice. There's no indicator of what's happening. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like it could
But
be.
If you're about to pass out, that means it's fogging. When you smell it, God. Yeah.
Yeah. Like they don't even give you enough time to close your windows.
No. They've said it before. You need to leave them open so they can come in because some of these mosquitoes are inside the house too. So they need to. Yeah. You never heard that before? I'm not making this up. We had a guest on the show say it'd be good if you could leave the window open.
Dear human menace, I'm sorry about everything I've said about your government. Could you hire me, please? Because I could do and say all of this stuff y'all got people doing and saying, you know.
I'll try to find the show for you, Aaron. They said leave the windows open so that it'll come inside so it can kill the mosquitoes in your house and stuff.
Right, and I know this wasn't expressly mentioned in the article, but it appears as if these guys don't know how to spell rape. Like, they keep they keep saying things like, you know, adolescent sex and unlawful sex with a minor. You could save so much time, money, and energy if you switched to Geico and just called it rape, because that's what it is. Right. And maybe we have such a pervasive and entrenched rape culture because we don't call rape what it is.
Wow.
Like, if it's a 15-year-old having sex with another 15-year-old, then maybe we could call it adolescent sex.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because young people are sexual beings, and it's our job as adults to protect them in their fullness. And that means creating safe spaces for them to be who they are. The 15-year-old is a sexual being. Let them be in their feelings. Teach them how to exercise and use other activities to deal with that energy. Right? Give them things to do. Sporting has been a really helpful tool in this country, in this community, to help young people deal with natural sexual urges.
We're talking about it off air, the arts as well.
Right? Yeah, get them into the arts. Mm-hmm. But they are sexual beings, and it's okay for them to be sexual beings. It's not okay for pervy, grayback, crusty, dusty men and women to be interfering with children. And there's plenty of y'all out there who think it's okay. It's not okay. And it's also not okay to call rape.
Yeah.
Unlawful sexual assault.
Try to pretty it up, as they say. Boy.
Yeah.
All right, so we had a caller earlier who mentioned it, and the commissioner was asked about it. You know, how can you be saying that things are down and comparing it to a year like 2019 when we didn't have to face COVID? And the commissioner says, you know, quote, "I give you an overview of what we did and what we're doing to ensure the Bahamian people are safe. Those who wish to dismiss those figures can look at what I'm saying. Everything that we said we would do, we did. I'm not satisfied that everyone in the Bahamas feels safe, but I'm working towards that. The thing is to build trust, and one way to build trust is you have to get to know people, and as you get to know the people in your community, they get to know you, and they will share information with you. That is where we're trying to go with the RBPF. The numbers will take care of themselves." Okay. Here are some of the other numbers. Armed robberies decreased by 34% with 141 incidents compared to 215 incidents in 2019. The report noted that armed robberies occurred mostly between 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. That's a tiny window. Vehicle theft decreased by 9% with 114 incidents reported compared to 125. That's not a significant drop.
No.
There at all. Oh, you could blame that on some rainy days for the decline. Anyway, so clearly the COVID is not stopping that from happening.
No.
Hondas, no surprise, were the most targeted vehicles of choice, representing 44% of vehicles stolen. Accords and Fits were the predominant stolen models. According to the report, 44% of the vehicles stolen were taken from parking lots, while 19% were taken from residences. House breakings decreased by 13% with 278 incidents compared to 319.
But that's just because people are home.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, so let's get your views on this. What, there's a lot there going on between the curfew and people violating curfew and just some of these other things that haven't really changed all that much, but the numbers are down. Okay, so what do we make of it? 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Do you get what the commissioner is saying, that they're trying to build the trust and get, I guess, on the good side?
Well, that's the root of it, right?
Yeah.
That's the root of it. Mm-hmm. Bahamians have to trust. Well, we, resident and Bahamians, have to trust that the police are here to serve and protect mm-hmm. us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you there? Do you feel that? Tweet us, Facebook us, and text us, 422-4796. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning again, Dwight and Aaron. And on this crime segment. Again. I like that. Can you hear me all? Can you all hear me clearly?
Yeah, man.
We can, yes.
Okay, yeah. On this crime segment, I believe what would be more impressive and what would be more detailed and what Bahamians would appreciate more in the analysis of crime is if the commissioner can draw the crime statistics from a prior year before COVID over the prior year before that period, right? So 2018, mm-hmm. 2019 comparisons, for instance, and we could determine what level that crime would have dropped in the various categories, and that would give us a better barometer that we can analyze under normal conditions. And then we look at what the statistics are between 2019 to 2020 and see what crime levels dropped to, and that would give us a better barometer, because here's the significant factor, and you cannot whitewash it no matter what. People were trapped in their homes because of the restrictive policies from the so-called competent authority. People were limited as to when they could go to the grocery store. People were limited as to where they could go. People were forced to be at home at a certain time by 9 p.m. for the most part, and just here recently by 10 p.m. Therefore, you would expect that whatever the crime statistics were underneath Mr. Ferguson, 2018, 2019, and they did drop, you would expect that they would drop perhaps by twice that amount. And if we're not talking those levels of percentages and decreases across the border, then it ain't really nothing to brag about. Then clearly, the policies, you still that way?
Yeah. I don't think, we said this earlier, I don't think anyone was bragging. They're just presenting the facts. Now, okay, right. Anton.
Sorry. Let me correct myself. Uh-huh. Because I don't want to be unfair in any way, shape, or form to the Commissioner of Police either. And so we need to better analyze those statistics to give us a real gauge. And one more point, Dwight.
Well, don't leave that to the police, though. You do that yourself, right? You could get that from the media. You could go back a year and look at the reports and see what the numbers were for 2019 versus 2018. Well, analysis. I don't think you want to rely on the police to do the analysis.
Well, but the only purpose why I'm drawing that out, Dwight, is to say what will give us a better understanding and appreciation of what's really going on with crime detection and prevention in the country.
Yeah.
Right? But to make my last point, Dwight, Aaron, and the Nation. Aaron, and you touched on something right before you went on, right while you were talking about the crime statistics as it relates to people coming in and Aaron talked about the gentleman, or I don't know if it was male or female, who was positive, who went on to Grand Bahama, right? Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. The Minister of Tourism and Aviation, Denisio de Aguilar, stated that one or two people slipped through the system, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the fact. We had three American tourists from Boston. That's not one or two. That's three people from the start. And so from the start, this statement is compromised. At least three people slipped through, we know for a fact. And then we talk about the persons who came and were sent back home. He admitted that there were hundreds of those people. We did not know the status of those persons as it relates to COVID-19. And so there are so many sources that could have added to the spread and contraction of COVID-19 in our country, but yet no one was held accountable, and yet no one was prosecuted. They just act as though it's a normal day doing business in the country, but yet they want to tell us they're going to hold us accountable, and they want to talk about transparency. This government ain't nothing but a bunch of talkers and jabbers. I can't wait till election comes so we can all vote them out.
Wow, okay.
See, it was so good until you got right to the end there, but you can't wait so we could all vote them out.
No, like
if you choose, yeah.
Yeah, let's take the partisan out of this analysis, man.
That whole conversation just now. Yeah, I mean, you're right about that, and we're being blamed, right? It's behaviors who did it.
That's the part that has me. Right? And it's certain Bahamians that did.
These people didn't have a test, but it's Bahamians who did it.
It just
okay. Well, you know,
man. Listen, you know what did it? The lack of certainty in your policy and the implementation mm-hmm. and enforcement yeah. of said policy. That's what did it.
Yeah, lack of clarity and double standards.
Lack of resources.
Yeah.
You know what's leading to the increase? When you go to some places in the world and the police find you without a mask, you know what they do? They give you a mask. Because the most important thing is that you have a mask on.
That's interesting.
Not that we punish you for not having a mask. Mm. Right? Why don't the police officers have masks, disposable masks for people? Mm. Why don't we have resources of disposable masks in public spaces? The airport should have them. Right? Every hotel that's open should have them. Every government office should have them. Mm-hmm. Every clinic should have them. What's happening? That's where the problem lies.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that. I see that that's how they're dealing with it in South Florida, although I think they say that's coming to an end soon. Like, after this week, if you don't have a mask, you're going to get in problems. But we'll give you a mask if you don't have one now. But we've never done that.
But look here. But think about it. If I'm going to detain you for not having a mask, I should give you a mask. To protect everybody else that has to come into contact with you.
Question your sanitation practices, of course. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Good morning, sir.
Hi, good morning.
And good morning to your guests, and good morning, Bahamas. Mrs. Cohen, I'm going to say this. A good pastor friend of mine, he tell me, like, in one of these states, what, when you call the police, just what you get, like how we call the one of these restaurants and thing, you get the beeper. You get, like, one, you do one, and you do two. Oh, I pray God we never reach that state. I want our Minister of National Security, please, let's hold up the thing up and please bring the National Intelligence Branch back. And I pray to God, when Retro on chapter 10, I'm going to show you, are serious. Luke chapter 10. Oh, my God, give thanks and praise unto the Most High. Remember, brother, thanks a lot, yeah?
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm looking at the police have an intelligence branch, you know. It may not look like it, but they have one. And they're doing some good work, you know. But it's about systems, and I think people and their skills are being frustrated by inefficient, ineffective, and dysfunctional systems.
Yes. Another call. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning, Dwight. Good morning, Aaron.
Hi.
Morning.
Hey, Aaron.
Yes, sir.
You know, I always enjoy your sarcastic humor, right?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Dwight.
Mm-hmm.
You get it yesterday on your critical thinking as far as the positive, negative, and positive of the PCRs, right? That's a loophole. And, hey, Aaron, you know, I know Mr. Rule, you know, he's doing a good job. Everybody wants to feel safe with this pandemic, right? But we're not going to allow you to ride on these dictatorial laws implemented by the COVID-19, right? And so he was right as far as getting socialized in the community. But what I'm noticing as a 56-year-old man in August, right, is that we need reciprocity. So the same way you want us to be so socialized with us and then get information from us, we would like to know the insubordinations and the complaints against the police in a more detailed manner also, you know, because you're not getting a lot of information. We need reciprocity then as far as the police is concerned. We just can't be giving them information. We need information. But when you give information on them, like you give information against the police, it's not taken seriously. But it's, you understand what I'm saying? There's no reciprocity. It's like a one-way street with them. There's no winning with them. And it's hard to really get, you know what I mean? And also, I'm looking at the constitutional, Mr. Strong, did anyone in the media have a complete copy of the literature of the COVID-19 emergency powers? Like, I mean, the real, like, all of the narratives.
A compendium of all of the orders?
Yes, because my problem with the constitutional subversion is that the fact that me, as a grown man, the ratio of the voting scenario in the House and the Senate, in order for it to be a referendum to reach the public, that's a loophole in democracy because that means according to how they vote, it comes to the public to be a referendum to make a change to the Constitution. So that means the public is bypassed, and that's not constitutional. So I don't know, Robbie, of all these ingenious people, but they're not seeing this loophole. Why is it that I don't agree with this particular scenario? Because it's not constitutional. You need to bring it to the people, and then that's just bypass the vote in the Senate because the people count. You just can't implement laws and be dictatorial as you see fit. And then what I'm saying now is that you can see that these laws are unconstitutional and the Pima people don't have nothing. Well, I listened to Dr. Gilbert Morris. Are we supposed to be able to come together as a collective and override any unconstitutional laws? What do we have to buffer us against these type dictatorial scenarios? And also, a police state, right? This is my definition. I didn't need a police state is a state whereby ordinary law-abiding citizens are meant to look like criminals and treated like criminals and herded like cattle. All right, that's just what it is. And that's when they see what's going on. And Aaron gave all type of innovative ways, even if it's to show love. But woe to the oppressors. And have a good day.
Okay, all right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, man. So, look here. Chapter 3, Article 29 of the Constitution, and then the Emergency Powers Act, right? Like, those are two pieces of legislation that we have to look at to begin to determine what are the bounds or the breaches of bounds of constitutionality in this place. The next thing is that there's this principle that says, look, you pass a law, the law is deemed to be in line with the Constitution until it is shown that it contradicts the Constitution, right? So the onus is on us as citizens.
Right.
To understand the laws and then challenge them,
yep.
Right? Like, there's an active part of this process for us as citizens.
Right, you just can't be passive and take anything that's dished out to you.
Right, yeah. But it's really important to read Chapter 3. In 2013, the constitutional reform exercise, when they had a call for suggestions, right, and a call for contributions from the public, one of the things I offered that 26.4C, along with a number of other provisions in the Constitution that permit or give the state the right to discriminate against citizens or the right to restrict the rights given in that same chapter, right, or acknowledged in that same chapter, need to be addressed because they're far too arbitrary, mm-hmm. right, and give the state far too much control,
yeah.
far more than the average citizen would expect, right? So it's important for us to get on it, get on our legal education, get your constitution, read chapter 329, read chapter 326 in its entirety, read the Emergency Powers Act, and then Dare Bar Association, Eugene DePuch Law School, UB CEO, I think it's now UB, maybe UB UWI LLB program. Figure out how we are going to sponsor interns to make to compile all of the orders and to make an assessment of the constitutionality, and let's begin a review process to determine whether, even though the state has the scope or has the right to restrict us in these ways, whether they have gone beyond mm-hmm. what the Constitution allows. This is what we should be doing.
Yeah. Let's see if we can get these calls in quickly before we have to take a break. Good morning, caller. You're on the air. Are you there? Good morning. Hi, good morning. You're on the air. Turn on your radio for us, please. Okay, are you there? Hi.
Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Turn on your radio for us, please.
Sorry. One of the things that I'm concerned about is, yes, the government has made some mistakes. My concern, though, is, what is the personal responsibility of us as citizens? Listen, the government has a certain responsibility to protect its citizens. But we as individuals must protect ourselves. Okay? And if we are not prepared to take matters into our own hands in terms of me looking out for myself, and my family, and those in my neighborhood, those in the churches, those in various other areas that we associate with, the government can't do it by themselves. Yes, they're making mistakes, and they're making some serious mistakes. But what personal responsibilities are we taking where it says social distancing, we're going out, we're not respecting the rights of other people. I go into a store, I'm standing in line, and I turn around and the person is standing behind me, and I have to say to them, listen, you need to step back and be body at a certain distance.
Mm.
We ourselves are not taking personal responsibility. Okay? I don't know who's to blame, whether it's Bahamians, whether it's foreigners, or whoever. The point is, it's here, and each and every one of us need to take personal responsibility for what is transpiring. The government can't do everything. They're supposed to do certain things, but there are certain things as citizens treat that we must be committed and dedicated to.
Right.
We are undisciplined. We are undisciplined.
Okay.
And we're blaming everybody else, and not one of us is taking responsibility. What am I contributing to what's going on?
Amen. I hear you. Good points there. I don't know if it's everyone. It's a lot of people are not disciplined, definitely. Some people are definitely like you, taking responsibility and saying those things to people and getting the stink eye from others that you need to back up. You need to stop talking without your mask around me, that kind of stuff. It is happening, but it does seem that when certain people get in crowds, they lose all control of that side of the brain that controls
you said,
that type of thought.
You said crowd. I swore you said cars. Like when people get in cars,
even worse.
Because this devolution of culture happened long before COVID, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just feeding into our behavior during COVID. That's a great point you made. Right? Let's make another point, though. It doesn't matter. The state's job is to look out for everybody. And let's take what transpired night before last.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? They have and had an equal responsibility to protect the people they detained
on those planes,
as well as the people who they say they were protecting by detaining those people. The equal responsibility, and that's why they get paid the big bucks, and that's why they get the two meets in the House of Assembly, because we know the job is stressful. That's why ain't nobody been to your house to ask you for that 10%, even though everybody is taking a pay cut except politicians, because we understand the weight of the job, because you gotta take care of everybody, whether you like them or not.
Yeah. Here's a text that I've got to wrap things up. Tell Erin she's making too much good, strong common sense today, punishing and whipping Negroes, to keep their dictated place in the plantation model is maintained. Giving a mask to show care for the citizens is not a priority. Punish and convict and criminalize everyday activities such as standing on the beach or driving without a mask.
Yeah, man, people, look at, you see the price of gas still going up?
It's still going up.
But I don't see the requisite, I don't see a commensurate rise in the price of crude oil.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is anybody managing this?
You don't think
people stress out?
Very strange.
They stress out, they were stressed out before COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And to see the price of gas go back up to 4%, and then the people trying to convince us that this is a great thing, that the fuel surcharge has been set, has been locked. Except we're not supposed to have a fuel surcharge at all, people. Why am I paying for electricity and for the fuel that's required to generate that electricity? Why won't you all hire me to do crooked things too? I am capable.
I'm
not really capable. Hmm? These people grow me up
you
in
learn.
A good Christian church.
You can learn, apparently. Apparently, some people catch on very quickly. We'll help you prepare a commercial so you could put your skills out there, you know?
Yes.
People know. Yeah, we'll talk after the show.
Yeah, man.
That's it for us today. Erin Green, thank you so much. I'll see you next week. I'll be back tomorrow morning with more Morning Blend here on Guardian Radio 96.9. Point strong. Have a great day, everybody. Rush Hour coming up next.
It's a new day.